When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Alabama, a man gets 8 life sentences for the armed kidnapping, rape, and torture of 2 underage girls. Wow. In Georgia, a Kroger employee is hailed a hero after saving a toddler from a hot van. And in New York, an NYPD officer gets carjacked by Venezuelan migrants at gunpoint. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, June 20th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton, and it's Thirsty Thursday. And you know what, Jim? I'm so fucking thirsty.
I bet you are.
I have not had a beer in like 26 days today.
Really?
Yeah, since I got so sick and then in the hospital and then home health care on all these IVs of different antibiotics, some really crazy cocktail of shit. And then those ended, but now I've only got 45 more days of strong shit that they're giving me, and I can't drink.
Oh, man.
But I really had
maybe you can smell it at least.
Yeah, right? Maybe I should take out smoking weed or something.
There you go.
But so if it's Thirsty Thursday for everybody else, yeah. I hope y'all enjoy it. And let's get down to some true crime time for Thursday.
And we're going to start out in Alabama.
Alabama.
A 37-year-old man will spend the rest of his life in prison for kidnapping and raping 2 underage girls in 2022. A judge sentenced Michael Jerome Butler to 8 consecutive life sentences in state prison.
Good.
Butler pleaded guilty to 2 counts of first-degree kidnapping, 2 counts of first-degree rape, 2 counts of first-degree sodomy, first-degree robbery, and sexual torture. He is also accused of fatally shooting Victoria Malay, and that was in St. Clair County, Alabama. Her body was found in a wooded area on November 6th of 2022. And Butler has not even went to trial for that yet. He'll go in November. On November 3rd of 2022, 2 17-year-old girls were leaving a Walgreens when Butler kidnapped them, fled in their car, and sexually assaulted them at gunpoint. He later drove to Georgia in the victim's car and committed other crimes, including robbery and an armed home invasion. Butler told the victims their names were written on the bullets in his gun, though the victims did not know him before the incident. He was just crazy. Butler claimed he wanted to be a famous serial killer with movies made about his life. Police officers captured Butler after a pursuit. He crashed into an embankment and fled on foot, but was caught soon later and arrested. Butler is a convicted felon, and 19th Circuit District Attorney C.J. Robinson described his objections to prison reform in a statement. He wrote, "The bottom line is simple. A monster like Michael Butler was in prison on his 4th felony by a court out of South Alabama, but was released early without an ankle monitor, then failed to show up for supervision." He continued, "Butler drove to our circuit and began his reign of terror. There is no excuse, no justification, and no dollar amount that can soften the nauseating reality that these unspeakable acts of violence could have avoided."
Yeah, that's crazy. I wonder if that murder wasn't part of the plea deal.
No, because, well, they haven't... they have not even adjudicated that yet. Well, November.
He's going to get the death penalty.
Yeah, I believe.
No doubt about it. And what fucking kind of idiot, you know, you get out, you're a 4-time convicted felon, you get out, you don't report, et cetera, and then you do commit these heinous crimes, and then you brag about it and say, I want to be a famous serial killer. Well, guess what? They might make a movie about you not having any oxygen to breathe, and that whatever they just Alabama was the first one to use it. Nitrogen hypoxia, where they suck all the air out of the room, and that was the first time it was ever used, and the warden said it took 4 minutes for the guy to die, and that's because he held his breath for 3 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yeah.
For the first breath, he was dead instantly. So this dude, I hope he gets that. Sodomy and, people, when they hear sexual assault, it just doesn't do it justice to me. I mean, that can be any type of rape or penetration, no matter how slight, but you not only are you going to rape them, but you're going to anally rape them.
Yeah.
Just a monster. And
he'll get everything he deserves.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. So let me tell you, let's go to New York City. Now, there's a New York City police officer. He's in Harlem, and he's driving a BMW, doing pretty well for himself, right? But you know what? Driving a BMW in Harlem, and you're a target.
Yeah.
And
people notice that flashy car.
The suspects in this case are two Venezuelan migrants, and they were arrested for carjacking this off-duty New York Police Department officer in Harlem. And sources told the newspapers and interviews that one of the men was carrying a fully automatic pistol as the pair drew their guns and they approached the officer who was sitting inside his personal 2020 BMW around 11:30 p.m. Friday at West 146th Street and Broadhurst Avenue. Now, one of the suspects knocked the officer's gun out of his hand, so at least the officer was aware they were approaching. And so he goes to draw his weapon. There's two of them. One of them knocks the gun out of his hand, and he demanded that the officer turn over his keys and then drove off. The officer's iPad was in the car at the time, and investigators used it to find the car after the theft. They found the car empty, less than a mile away. Why the fuck you and carjack somebody? And I understand maybe you take the BMW to a chop shop or something.
Yeah.
They just took his shit and then drove a mile. What the fuck? You got nothing else better to do? And unfortunately for you, it was a cop. And cops are going to take care of their own. So police eventually found the two suspects while searching the area and recovered the two guns. The two men have been identified as Omar Crespo, 21, and Jose Rivera, 20, of Connecticut, Waterbury, Connecticut. And photos show one of the suspects with tattoos on his neck that are believed to be associated with a Venezuelan gang, right? And the NYPD did not respond to Fox News' inquiry, but local reports indicate the two men were charged with robbery, grand larceny of a vehicle, criminal possession of a machine gun, possession of a loaded firearm, possession of stolen property, and making rapid fire modifications to a gun and unlawful possession of ammo feed device.
Mm.
Right?
They had a real machine gun.
They
turned it into
bump stocks and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about Second Amendment and your gun rights and everything else, but they and I have probably 200 guns, right, or weapons, firearms, and not one of them, nor did I ever want to have a bump stock to make them fully automatic.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no point. First of all, like in the Vietnam War, they did studies on it. Back then, the M16s, they only had two fire selections. Single shot and fully automatic, right? But they proven when you fire, and that's how it was when I was in too. The same thing. But they proven when you're on fully automatic, and you're in a firefight, you have a 40 round magazine or a 20 round magazine, whichever one. But you squeeze that trigger, that first shot may go true to the target, but the rest of it is that fast because I fired them, and you cannot keep that barrel on target. So you're wasting all the rounds.
Yeah.
And so they figure they wasted millions and millions and millions of rounds in the Vietnam War. And fortunately, in the late 80s, when we had the same rifles, it was the same thing. But now, and when I was on SWAT and everything else, they have they don't even have the fully automatic selection. You have the one round and the three round burst. Three round burst, more reasonable because you can put your front, you put your sight on it, and if you squeeze and it's three rounds, it's the barrel's going to raise, but it's still going to maintain in the general area of that target. Sure. So, but bump stocks, what the fuck? Oh, I'm badass. I can fire 40 rounds. I can waste, you know, $20 in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
and I ain't gonna hit shit.
Right.
So I don't. I do think that shit should be outlawed. There's no purpose for it.
They definitely picked the wrong person to carjack. You know, they had the district attorney in New Orleans got carjacked.
I know, right?
And he was with his mother. They were going to the car, walking to the car.
Yeah.
And two guys walked up and carjacked him. And I'm thinking, when I was reading that article, why did y'all pick the wrong person
you're gonna
to carjack?
You're going to do some real time, right?
Yeah. And the guy that prosecutes you.
Right, right. Or I'm sure he had to take himself off the case, but his homie was working.
Yeah,
So way back when, and I did a story on a Real Life Real Crime original, my vehicle got burglarized when I was out of town hunting, and I had to come back in because my wife at the time, I had the red ass. The whole fucking neighborhood, it's a single street neighborhood, got hit in one night. And I'm up there drinking beer and, you know, squirrel hunting, having a great time, and I get this call. God damn it, you get your fucking ass. Like I can solve everything,
right?
But my vehicle, my unmarked vehicle, I had all my SWAT gear in it, and thank God I locked it. But my personal vehicle had a pistol that was very near and dear to me, an old revolver, a police Colt Special, and it got taken. That vehicle was left unlocked. So the most time they don't break the windows, they're going through and just pulling on door handles and finding whatever. And ultimately I was able to get it back just by luck. I rode around and, you know, saw some kids in the neighborhood back behind it hanging out in the yard, and I just had that feeling. So I got out and I told them, I said, hey, I want my shit back. And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about. I said, motherfucker, that pistol you got out of that Dodge Durango was my grandfather's, which is what I was lying. Yeah. My grandfather's, and he protected the president of the Secret Service. And I know you got everything else in the whole wide world. And they were like, what are you talking about? I said, well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you 1 hour, and I'm coming back, and I want that fucking pistol, or I'm coming back with a SWAT team, and we're going to blow your fucking trailer apart. And I'm going to with flashbangs. I threatened them. And when I left, I get a call from Kim McMorris, who's long time friend of mine, we were detectives together. He said, bruh, he knew these guys. And I wasn't from the LP, so I didn't know him. He said, bro, what the fuck did you do? I said, what? He said, this kid called me crying and said, this detective Overton is over there saying he's going to kill him and shit. And and I said, did they say anything about the burglaries? He says, yeah. He said, oh, that's what happened. And the kid said, well, if we get you the pistol back, we're not saying we took it, but if we get you the pistol back, will you leave us alone? I said, if you don't give me the pistol back, I'm coming with the SWAT team. We're going to blow your shit up. And that's what Ken said. Bro, you can't be threatening him. I said, fuck it. I was just taking a chance. I said, he said, he wants me to go over there and pick that pistol up. He don't want you coming back over there. But anyway, I got him arrested. And the DA called me. Right. Yeah. Cops take care of them, and the DAs knew me and everything else. He was like, bruh, would you let him plead to 7 years in prison? I'm like, fuck, 7 years for a vehicle burglary? That was like a lot of time.
Yeah.
And then not get probation. I said, hell yeah. And then years went by, and the DA's office called me and said, hey, look, these guys are coming up for parole. Do you care if they get out? I said, I don't give a fuck. I got my pistol back. And I said, but you tell them if I ever see them, they're going to spring a leak. And anyway, so I don't know. That's
more to that story. Don't take Woody's pistol.
Yeah, right. I hate a fucking thief. I truly do.
Well, we're going to go to a little lighter, a happy ending anyway. We're going to take you to Georgia. And a Kroger employee in Atlanta is being hailed a hero after he saved a toddler from a hot car.
Awesome.
I happened to notice that there was a child inside of that car. I thought possibly the parents were inside the car as well. This from the hero, Gary Sanford. Sanford said he noticed a child in distress while he was putting shopping carts away at the store. So he starts checking the doors, and all the doors were locked. So he calls for help. A Kroger shopper then uses a hammer to break the window of the van and get the distressed toddler out. It was 93 degrees outside, but checking the temperature inside the car, it was 127 degrees, Sanford said. I don't think the next 15 minutes the child would have made it.
Right.
The parents told officers their daughter was asleep and they didn't want to wake her up, and they were only gone about 20 minutes. Every life is valuable, and you should never leave any life inside a car, even a plant, in this type of heat, police said. The parents of the little girl were cited for creating a hazardous situation. I think they should have been cited for worse. I think you are a total dumbass to leave your child in a non-running car for 20 minutes while you go shopping. That is
it's
dumb as you can get. That's like as hot as an attic.
People don't know. And actually, I've looked at the studies in Courtney Coco's case, because when Burns had been killed her and they stuffed her in the trunk of a car, it was October, first weekend in October. But it was in the '80s outside. Mm-hmm. And when they dumped her body in Winnie, Texas, posed her body in a sexual position, nude from the waist down in Winnie, Texas, the first investigators that got there, they were like, that she'd only been missing a couple of days. Right.
Yeah.
And they identified her by her class ring. They were like, there's no way she's only been dead a couple of days because she was in such advanced state of decomp. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem was, they rode around in the trunk of the car for those 2 days before they took her to Winnie, Texas. In General Motors, the study showed that they've done studies on this, what the temperature is outside and what the temperature inside of the car would be, but they never did it on the study on a trunk.
Mm.
But that weekend, even though it was in the mid-80s outside, the temperature inside that car would have been like 150.
Yeah.
And so put it in the trunk is multiplied times two,
right?
Like 300 degrees.
I mean,
you know how you get
you're
in a car,
very confined space.
Yeah. And so they've studied it, and it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible way to die. Go to another story. I need to tell a story on the original one day, but there was a very famous burglar, and he only robbed the rich. Like, he broke into Madonna's house and stole all her shit. And he was on America's Most Wanted numerous times and everything. And he was right here in Walker. And I got information that he was there. And I was like, I'm not going to say names because it's fucked up. But I called and I said, do not approach the house. We're getting a search warrant, da 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 da. Well, one of that town's officers, who's now a high ranking official, rode by and saw his cat cutting the grass on a riding lawnmower and bails out on him. Of course, this guy is famous not only for robbing the rich, but for he'd like pull up beside cops and Corvettes was his thing. And you're on your mark, you're in it at a red light, and he pulls up and he's going, rum, 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 like, catch me if you can, motherfucker. And he always got away. He got away that day. But the point of my story is we had a big perimeter set up, and they brought in multiple canines. And one of the canines went out on the track for a long time, and the handler brought him back and put him in the car. It was hot as fuck. It was like August during the middle of daytime. And put him back in the car, the canine, and they leave the units running, right? Naturally, to cool the dog off. They had another canine they had to put on because this canine got too hot.
Sure.
But what happened was the fucking car died. And now they have alarm systems in them. They're supposed to notify the deputy if the car goes off at any time because you got your canine partner in it.
Yeah.
Didn't alert him. Mm-hmm. And he goes back to the car to get the canine for the second time. The car had been off for like an hour, and that dog there was claw marks on the inside where the dog's trying to get out. We bring him out. I was actually there. I gave the dog like mouth to mouth to try to get him alive, but he was cooked. And it's just, don't leave shit in the car. People, it's that time of the year where it's going to happen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Again and again. Let me take you out to Portland, Oregon. A little bit of a different story. You know, I like to go to amusement parks. I'm not real crazy about roller coasters and shit. And then I think about even some of these rides you're on, and I'm like, what kind of asshole is servicing this? And do they have all the bolts in right. and everything else?
But a little bit clanky.
Right? A little bit sketchy. But anyway, Portland, Oregon. 28 people were trapped on a ride at Oaks Amusement Park in southeast Portland on the park's first day open for the season. And this according to the Portland Fire and Rescue. Officials at the scene say the passengers were stuck upside down on the Atmosphere ride and were lowered to safety from a height of 50 feet around 3:30 p.m. They were stuck for 25 minutes. Now, you know, your face
upside down. Oh, my God.
You know your face is going to be blood red, right?
Oh, my God.
So they got them down from that. Then the ride had been manually lowered, and all riders are now being evacuated and medically evaluated. This official said no injuries have been reported, but the park did say one person with a pre-existing medical condition was taken to the hospital for further evaluation out of an abundance of caution. The cause of the ride stop remains unclear. That's what I'm telling you about. Who's servicing these motherfuckers? First day of the season, right? But officials say the ride will be closed until further notice. I'm pretty sure I'm not getting on that motherfucker anyway. One person said, my entire bladder hurts. I was holding back, throwing up. My legs are killing me. This is Daniel Allen, one of the individuals on the ride, who called the 25-minute ride just crazy. Now, teens who were stuck on the ride told the local news that being suspended in the air like that made them think about life.
I bet he did.
Right? People praying to God, screaming for their life, throwing up, passing out. It was bad, Jordan Harding said. A woman who witnessed the ride getting stuck from the ground recalled praying for those upside down and the Hoover strapped in for nearly half an hour. The ride went up. The kids got stuck on the ride, and they were just dangling, said Lavina Waters. And somebody came in and said, hey, the kids are stuck on the ride. And I look up, and sure enough, they were stuck on the ride. They weren't lying. John Harrell, Portland Fire and Rescue spokesperson, told KOIN 6 News, crews are familiar with the ride. I know that our high and go rope rescue team has specifically drilled as recently as last year on this ride and extraction of individuals from this ride, he said. My dream is to become a firefighter, Allen said. I'm thankful that they did what they did, and it really makes me take a look at what I want to become and grow up and turn into that. Now, the Portland Fire and Rescue said medical evaluations were conducted by them and the American Medical Response Medics, with all vitals being normal, no medical assistance needed, save the one person who was taken to hospital. And firefighters and park staff then worked to reunite the riders with their parents. Now, the Atmosphere replaced the Screaming Eagle at Oaks Parks in 2020, and the malfunction, I told you, took place on the opening day of this year, summer 2024 season. The park naturally released a statement saying, at approximately 2:55 this afternoon, the Atmosphere ride stopped at the apex position while operating
The apex. Yeah, that's right. A nice way of putting it.
Operating in a 360-degree setting, suspending 28 riders upside down. And the Oaks Park staff immediately initiated emergency procedures, which is, oh, fuck. And they called 911. And the emergency responders arrived at approximately 3:20 p.m. within minutes of the first responders' arrival. Oak Park and its maintenance returned the rider safely to the unloaded position, blah, blah, blah.
Crazy.
Y'all. That's not really a true crime thing, but it's kind of what the fuck. But I wanted to do it because, you know, we have Blue Bayou here. Everywhere you go, like on my way to Wisconsin, it seems like every major city has some big amusement park like that, right? And this.
Well, I'll tell you a
little sketchy.
Quick story that happened to me. My son and I, my family, all of us went to Disney World. And my daughters and wife went off one way to take pictures with princesses and all that. And me and my son, we're going to go ride, you know, the big rides.
Right.
And so we
go, boy rides.
We go to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and we get on it and we're riding, having a great time. And we get to the top and it stops.
Uh-oh.
And that's what we said. And so I'm like, this ain't normal. Right. I've rode this before. We sit out there for about 10 minutes. And then this voice comes on and it says, it's the typical Disney, the ride has broke, folks. And so basically the side of the mountain opens and this dude comes out. Yeah. And he says, all right, everybody step off and I'm going to grab your hand and look, you're way up there.
Way up there.
But sure enough, we step onto this catwalk and it's everybody on the ride. And we go through the mountain, which was actually kind of cool. You can see all this stuff you never see. Yeah. We get to the bottom and this lady hands me this thing and it's like a magic pass where you can skip to the front of the line. And she says, we're sorry this happened here. Yeah. So I was like, wow, that's legit. I can go on any ride now and skip everybody.
Right.
But that even happens at the big parks like Disney every now and then.
They got engineers and shit taking care of that.
Oh, yeah.
I just wonder about some of these small ones that I see.
Oh, yeah. That's a
– anyway, you
guy forgot to tighten a bolt.
You get into Wisconsin and they have these – a lot of them are indoors.
Yeah.
They run them year round. It gets cold as fuck up there.
Yeah.
And I just wonder about those places, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the fairs and the little.
Those are really.
Church fair.
Yeah. The State Fair or the Livingston Parish Fair. I'm like, I'm pretty sure these guys are working. Yeah, on
Joe
the car
Dirt
for
out
a
there.
What did Chevy Chase say? Or no. Cousin Eddie said, it got the kids off the road and said, college? He said, nope. The carnival.
That's right.
You ever seen the yak lady? She's got those horns. Ugly as sin, but she's a hell of a cook.
Anyway. Well, there you go. All right. Well, we're going to go to Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And you know, this guy committed a crime, but I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing. A father in Minnesota allegedly told someone that he had already dug a hole for his daughter's abusive boyfriend before actually killing the dude. Court documents revealed that 46-year-old Michael LaFlex's daughter was the one who reported her boyfriend, 23-year-old Bryce Brogel, missing. During the investigation, LaFlex's daughter's landlord came forward, and he said that the 46-year-old father called and asked if Brogel had hurt his daughter. The landlord responded to the father that he had seen her with two black eyes. Mm. So LaFlex then said, I'm going to kill Brogel, and I already dug the hole.
Yeah.
LaFlex then shot Brogel in the back of the head and put him in that hole. Officers found Brogel's body buried at a makeshift gravesite near a storage unit. And on June 10th, LaFlex was ordered to commit to the Commissioner of Corrections at the Minnesota Correctional Facility for life without parole. He is also ordered to pay $14,000 in court fines, which they'll probably never see. And I don't know that I got an issue with what he did. Blackened both my daughter's eyes. You might catch a bullet.
Yeah. And you know, geez Louise, I know that. This is tough.
Yeah. I would definitely do some ass beating. I don't know that I'd kill him.
I'd probably be the one.
But I'd beat that ass.
Yeah, I was gonna be, I'm gonna be the one in the courtroom on court TV who sits there silently when he gets found guilty, and I'm jumping around. I'm gonna get my licks in.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah.
And the bullet in the back of the head might be a little extreme.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, Jimmy. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, he got life in prison for it. So the jury apparently
didn't feel any. I think it. They probably felt it was a little bit extreme.
Yeah.
So I was telling you earlier how I hate a thief.
Yep.
Now, I can't think of anything worse than a thieving preacher.
Yeah.
All right. So let me take you out to Texas. So Texas pastors tend to do their work inside of a church, whether they're renting out the space or building from the ground up. But a self-proclaimed man of God decided he shouldn't have to abide by paying or renting his places of worship. Instead, he decided that stealing the property and the real estate was more beneficial.
Mm.
Thou shalt not steal, homie. You forgot that one?
Yeah.
So Whitney Foster, 56, is a Dallas area pastor who has been sentenced to 35 years in prison for stealing three church buildings.
Wow.
How the fuck you steal three church buildings?
Right, the whole
building. I'm going to tell you. So he was using the properties and buildings as his own to lead his small congregation in worship. A jury in Dallas courts found Whitney Foster, who I told you about, 56, guilty of property theft at $300,000 or more after illegal taking of the properties. Now, you're probably asking yourself, how can someone steal real estate property from someone? Well, Whitney took matters into his own hands and further stole by filing fraudulent deeds, putting his name down as the owner of the deeds. Now, the stolen real estate properties combined were over $800,000, y'all. And the three properties are the First Christian Church in Lancaster, the Canada Drive Church in Dallas, and the Nineveh Church in Dallas. Now, stealing real estate is an incredibly serious and damaging crime. It's worse than the theft of someone's vehicle or other possessions, said the DA, John Cruzote. When someone steals property, we must hold them accountable because they are hurting people. Property ownership is a bedrock of our society. It provides security, a home, a place to love and welcome each other, said the lead prosecutor, Philip Clark. It also represents a very active part of our community, community and economy, both in terms of buying, selling, and renting property, as well as property taxes that support everything our government does for the citizens of Dallas. And then, y'all, that includes the courts and police officers and firefighters and everything else. But deed fraud cases are not simply disputes. They are lies, and they are fraud, and they are theft, and they are deeply damaging. I'm so grateful that the jury saw the truth in this case, and they held the defendant to account. Now, the DA's office stated that during the trial, the jury was presented with evidence of seven additional fraudulent deeds that shared the same characteristics as the three deeds that were the subject of the charges. Two of the three properties are still under his name or the name of his church and still has a congregation actively attending services at one of the churches, in accordance to the news release. The third property is now locked in a legal dispute because of Foster's actions. Foster also has previous charges of identity theft and arson. Mm. And, you know, we've been talking about this a lot, like squatters and like even one here in Baton Rouge where the person went in and I guess they go in and they've researched the court records of, you know, people not active on paying their tax or whatever, and they go in and they follow these false ass deeds in your own church, homie.
Yeah.
I don't think God's going to like that too much.
No.
It's not a very smart thing to do.
No. And a major problem, not only in with obviously churches, but real estate theft in general. Yeah. I mean, Graceland almost got,
I know, almost got
foreclosed on over fraud.
Right, like a $3 million deal or something. Yeah,
supposedly Lisa Marie took out a loan before she died for $3 million. The whole thing was a farce.
Right.
It was a day from getting foreclosed on.
Yeah, and that's the bad thing is you go in and you're like, hey, my property, this motherfucker filed a thing on it, then you got to prove it.
You got to prove it.
I think it should be the other way
around. I agree.
And but this guy's making money as a preacher, still got a congregation giving their tithes, and I don't know who's preaching it, but 35 years.
They ain't got the same Bible I got.
He could be He could be a prison minister.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Up. Oh. A mile high crime time. And this one's crazy and actually despicable, but, you know, a pretty horrible crime. A 72-year-old retired teacher and pilot instructor already serving time for engaging in sex acts with a teenage girl mid-flight entered a plea for similar crimes with the same victim at an airport. Rex Phillips pleaded no contest to accosting a minor in two counts of fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct. Phelps is scheduled to be sentenced on July 24th and faces up to 8 years in prison. Phelps initiated a sexual relationship with the 15-year-old victim while teaching her about airplanes at the Ray Community Airport.
Use that position of authority.
Yep. Michigan State Police first announced Phelps' arrest in March of 2023, and according to the FBI, Phelps groomed and inappropriately touched the victim multiple times during flying lessons while they were aboard the aircraft. Phelps and the teenager also exchanged inappropriate texts, including one with a picture of a man and woman lying on a bed kissing. Phelps reportedly responded to the photo and said shortly after the shower and without the top, maybe more. Investigators initially caught Phelps after he sent a message to an unintended individual who then contacted law enforcement. So this
bit of karma
jackass. Accidentally sent a dirty text to one of his friends or something. And they're like, what the hell? The victim told officials she and Phelps kissed for the first time while he was flying with her on January of 2023, which caused the plane to fly off course. I bet it did. Phelps also inappropriately touched the girl while they were in the airplane hangar on multiple occasions between January and February of 2023, including touching the girl's leg and moving it higher and higher each time they flew together. Grooming.
She's going to say no.
Yep. Yeah. It's reported that Phelps and the victim spoke about being in love. Phelps even told the teenage girl, "I hope I'm not grooming you."
Oh my
God. He instructed her to delete their text messages and stick to the story. In March, a judge sentenced Phelps to 24 months in federal prison for abusive sexual contact of a child after he pleaded guilty to a charge in 2023. Phelps served as president of a flight club and worked as a teacher for a high school. In a statement, the county prosecutor said a 15-year-old girl is legally incapable of giving consent to sexual relationships with an adult. Correct. This is a grave violation of her rights and an obvious breach of trust.
Wow. And it's just in every aspect of life.
Yeah.
There's your pedophiles and your groomers. And
72 years old.
The thing is, he didn't just start at 72.
Right.
He was
a former teacher.
Right, so many victims, so many different ways, and that's a good mile high. And
that is crazy. Your mile high.
This I want to do one more, Jim.
Yep.
And this is short. This is, you know, I was reading this and I think about these people who say they have cancer and they get the, you know, money and donations. Well, we had one lady here recently in Livingston Parish doing all that shit. But this is a bird of a different feather, I think, but it's just bizarre as to why people would do this. Now, let me see how I could tell this. We go to Winfield Township, Pennsylvania, and now, y'all, there was a girl that went missing. Her name was Cherie Mahan. And she was a child who vanished in 1985. Okay. Mm-hmm. So nobody ever gets over that. Right. But they had a lady that came forward and says that she's the missing girl.
Ooh.
As a grown woman. So she came forward claiming to be Cherie Mahan, the child who vanished in 1985. Now, the police, Pennsylvania State Police, naturally get involved, and they're investigating the claim. But the little girl's family, Sheree's family, do not believe it's true.
Right.
And now Sheree was last seen in Winfield Township, Pennsylvania, when she went missing from a bus stop on February 22nd, 1985, and she was 8 years old at the time. Now, there's been no sign of her for 39 years. Sheree would be 47 years old now, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And now the woman who claims to be Sheree made the announcement in a Facebook group dedicated to Sheree's memory.
Mm.
Right? Now, I think about Wesley Dale Morgan, on the Real Life Real Crime original, he went missing from East Feliciana Parish, and I know he's alive, and I know the woman's full of shit, his mom's full of shit, but and there's still Facebook groups dedicated to him and everything, but what kind of special person you have to be to interject yourself in there and say, hey, I'm the one,
yeah,
I'm her. But anyway, so I'll continue with it. According to USA Today, that Facebook post has been since deleted, and the woman has been banned from the group. Now, Pennsylvania State Police have not been able to contact the woman or are working with an out-of-state agency to investigate it further, which that means they're getting the IP address where it came from. They're trying to figure out and go figure out who this woman is and why she said this. The police said this case has been difficult to solve because of the amount of time that has passed since Sheree's disappearance. Now, over the years, three other women have claimed to be Sheree. Can you believe that? And there's still a $5,000 reward for anyone for any information leading to the arrest or the finding of Sheree. Now, this one woman doing it recently, I don't know, but three other women over the years.
I don't think
years,
I've ever even heard of that many times.
Crazy. Four different people. What's your game plan?
Right.
I mean, what the fuck?
It's kind of like those people that claim to murders they didn't commit. But I don't know, man. Maybe looking for GoFundMe.
That should be
something.
Like a what the fuck, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't get it. But I know that it takes, I mean, everybody's different, and it takes all kinds to make the world go around. But that kind of shit just baffles me.
Me too.
The 1985, bro, I was 15.
Yeah.
And this girl was 8 years old. You think her family doesn't suffer every day.
Yeah.
And you're going to come up and say, I'm her?
That's horrible. Mm.
That's
lowest of the low.
Maybe they're going to, Pennsylvania State Police will work with this other agency, and maybe it is her.
Maybe.
But doubtful. So, anyway.
Well, any final thoughts?
Another good show, man.
Yeah.
Another good show. Great to be back in the saddle, y'all.
Yes.
Get us nonstop. And thank you to everybody who sent in stories to me on this one, Aaliyah Marie included. Always give that shout out. She's just she's a beast, man.
Oh, yeah.
But she loves to do the research like you do. And just love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much for liking and sharing and supporting us. Keep sending in your stuff, and love y'all.
Yeah. Ditto for me.
I'm going to throw a shout out to our sponsors.
Yes. Let's do that.
There's a lot of them, but in particular, I want to mention Parish Forensics and Louisiana Pet Crematory, Roy and the Two Christians. Now, we haven't talked about them in a minute, but they are our people. They are our jam. We have been to their facility. Jim got to see his first dead bodies on the table. Yeah. but first-class facilities, whether it's your pet loved one, which they
help you. Yeah, I've used their services, right? Absolutely.
And they are the best people. The best facilities. I mean, it'll blow your mind, but they are the best of the best in the business. And they're underneath that giant American flag, Broussard, Louisiana. Hard.
That's right. And let me tell you, we don't just say it. They really took care of us when sadly my pet passed away, Happy, and our family pet. Yeah. That was a tough time, as you can imagine, and they walked the walk and talked the talk and made it as painless a process as possible.
Right. And They are the only independent place in the state of Louisiana to get an autopsy done.
Yep.
But so it's LouisianaPetCrematory.com.
Yep.
And
Parish Forensics.
Parish Forensics. And yeah. And for Roy and the two Christens. And all the people that work there. I mean, we met the forensic pathologists. We met the people who do the autopsies. And when we were in the autopsy room with the dead bodies on the table, they had the real life, real crime mouse pad on the thing. And they were like, hey, we want recognition too. So shout out to y'all too for getting it done.
That's right.
And providing answers to the families who are hurting. And shout out to we met the people who take care of the pet side. And shout out to them for taking care of the loved ones. We love y'all, Roy and Two Christens. And you know what their tagline is?
Rest easy.
So that's it for me, Jimmy. And I guess another great show.
Yeah, definitely. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.